It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Woo. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Woo. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, Survivor News Edition, episode 152, Gone Swimming. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and thank you for tuning in this week. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever podcasts are. The Purple Pants Podcast is there. Hit subscribe, write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars. You also can subscribe to my YouTube channel, Bryce Isaiah, and you can follow along to this audio podcast with the video. Give that video a thumbs up and write in the comments. We appreciate it. Woo! Baby, baby boys are back from Bryce and Wynn Present the District in DC. And baby, when I say y'all showed up and show out, thank you so much to everyone coming, all of the reality stars, all of our friends, because it ain't fans, it's friends, because when we gets together, it is a great time. I literally had so much fun. I can't even listen. I'm going to talk about it on the regular Purple Pants Podcast this Tuesday, but I just had to thank DC for showing up and showing out. And you know, April 20th, Bryce and Wynn are headed to Chicago. So listen, Chicago, we looking forward to you. So click the link in my bio or Wendell's Instagram bio and get your tickets. Listen, episode 5 was a lot. So much happened and I couldn't really watch it all at the watch party. So I had to watch it when I got home. And woo, listen. Okay, let's get into this week's Survivor News. We've got the baby boys, Wendell Holland, winner of Ghost Island, contestant on season 40, Winners at War, and HGTV host. And we've got our baby boy back, Jack Atkins, from the Netflix show The Circle, season 2. And listen, we are breaking it all down, so let me just shut up. Let's get into Survivor News. And we are back this week with your Purple Pants Podcast Survivor News. We're here joined with your three baby boys, the Jack, that is the Atkins, the Circle season 2. What it do, baby boy? How are you?
What's up, Bryce? I'm doing well. Good to be back. I'm excited to talk about some Survivor. Let's go.
Yes. And we are joined with the baby boy that is Wendeezy. What's popping?
What up, Perp? Thank you for having me for another episode of Survivor News. It's an honor and a privilege and a pleasure, my friend.
Yes, we are off the hills of episode 5. But before we get into that, we're just back from Washington, D.C. Bryce and Wynn Presents. And woof, it was such a great time. The district show out and show so much love. Thank you for everyone that came out. It was, whew, baby boy is still feeling the love. How you feeling, Wendeezy?
I'm feeling good. I kind of like lost my voice. And so I'm still recovering, but it was an incredible event. So many people came out, so many friends from the reality community came out, and it was just a beautiful, lovely event.
Yes, and so many people that listened to the Survivor News was in the event. They said, baby boy, when we going to get on? When can we come and sit and talk on a podcast? So hopefully we can figure that out. But yes, we appreciate you guys. Make sure you subscribe to the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channel. Okay, click the link in the bio. Give this video a thumbs up. And yeah, like, let's just get it popping because this episode was amazing. Episode 5. What y'all think? What we got, Wendeezy? What do the notes say?
What do the notes say? All right. So we were at the party, so it was difficult to take notes, but I still was able to take some notes. You know what I'm saying?
How did you take the notes, Wendeezy?
I took mental notes. Okay. Oh. So everything is off the top. You ready for this?
Let's go.
All right. So we start the episode, and it's at the Ika Blue Tribe, and this is after the Swathi vote out, and they come back, and Roxroy is kind of feeling duped because he was left out of the vote, and he says, I'm happy that you guys weeded out Swathi. And I think that that was a good strategy for him to come back, and instead of fighting them and getting mad at them, to say, you got to spin that when you come back from tribal and you're left out, or if they blindside you or something. And he did a good job of just saying, hey, I thank you guys for weeding her out. I might not have caught that, and, you know, I'm going to ride you guys' coattails and let's do this thing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, because when I thought that he might return to the tribe mad, cussing, just because we see how he is at camp life, if they're not chopping the wood fast enough, if they not do anything, he speaks up. But I think that that was like great awareness on his part as well, to be like, you know what, y'all got me, thanks for not telling me, and we rocking out together. Like, I was like, okay, Roxroy, and he admits his social game is not as strong as he would like it, and he's like, I might have to use your social game and help me out. So I thought that that was like really good of Roxroy. What you think, Jed?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And now that I think about it, it's kind of funny, because I think that the episode where Swathi went home, I think Roxroy was the only one that she didn't tell was her number one. Oh. And he was the only one who voted with her. So, yeah, like you guys said, for him to come back to camp and kind of take it in stride was definitely a good move on him, and kind of the opposite of sort of how his social game has been so far. So maybe it's a step in the right direction for Roxroy.
We also... Oh, something, Bryce?
No, I was just thinking, like, maybe because, again, I feel like this season is so elevated, like, it's such fast game playing, and although Roxroy is not necessarily in the mix like how he would like to be, normally that, again, would be, like, a negative towards you, but being as though that it is so cutthroat, I'm thinking, like, maybe it's something that's, like, positive, in that they're going to, like, cannibalize, and he's going to be sitting back, like, as an open... What you call it, like a draft?
A free agent?
Open, a free agent.
An open draft.
Open draft. Yeah. He'll be the free agent. Somebody can scoop him up and use him. Or he can use them. It could be mutually beneficial. We also had a point when they were sitting and talking about, yeah, we're going to be four strong going forward, blah, blah, blah. A lot of lip service. We get a confessional from Tori where she says, I'll be the first person in the jump ship. I'll say four strong, but that is not what I'm going to do.
I'm like, we know that already. And I think that the tribe knows that. I honestly think Tori will more than likely go far in the game. I don't know whether it's giving winner, but I feel like, again, I think we said on another episode, she reminds me a lot of Angelina. I get Angelina from her.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, even before her confessional, we see them sitting around the camp, and Roxroy is saying, oh, great job, guys, good move. And she's just sitting there like so sick of him. And I think that kind of just epitomizes going into this merge, how each tribe, there's four people in each tribe, and they're all kind of fractured. And that's going to be a really interesting dynamic going into the merge, where every tribe has people that are ready to jump ship, people that are ready to mix it up. And nobody's really loyal to their tribe, aside from maybe a couple duos. So it should be a really interesting dynamic going in.
That'll be fun to see. So we don't have these... So we think that we might not have these strict tribe line allegiances going into the merge. It'll be cool to see how people work across tribe lines. Then we jump over to the green tribe, the Vati tribe. And I'm sorry. Orange tribe. Remember, these notes are all in my head. We jump over to the orange tribe, the Taku tribe. And we have Jonathan sitting with the girls. And the girls are talking and chatting a lot. Marianne's talking a lot. You know, she has this personality. She's young. She wants to speak a lot and just say a lot of things. And Jonathan is not receiving this the best way. I think I would be the same. Like, hey, can we just like exist in quiet for a little bit? Like, can we just sit here and just take everything in instead of always having something said? So
that reminded me a lot on my Solana beach. Although I was only out there 8 days, I could remember like Jeffra and Alexis always like talking about like, did you go to the bathroom today? Did we not go to the bathroom today? And it can be so annoying at times. So I definitely was like, okay, Jonathan. And I thought in that situation, he was handling it rather well. He was like, I'm gonna chill. I'm not gonna say nothing. I'm gonna just go fishing.
And when you're out there, you're with these people 24/7 on this tribe. So you see everything, and little things can start to wear on you. And like, it could be how someone breathes. It could be how someone chews. And you're just like, ah, get me away from these people. And in Jonathan's case, he said he had a lot of self-awareness. He said, I'm going to take myself out of this equation by going to fish. Then he's doing something productive from the tribe, and he's also helping himself in this kind of like meditative way by swimming around in these beautiful coral reefs.
Yeah, and he acknowledges that, A, if he like starts getting in an argument with Marianne, it's just going to make him look like the bad guy, especially to the other tribes who, at this point, probably think Marianne is like the sweetest girl in the world, because they haven't, not that she isn't, but they haven't had that 10, 12 day exposure to her, that where she might start rubbing off on them a little bit. And then also he realizes that going into a merge, if he is divisive towards Marianne, then that's going to give her reason to go join up with another group. Whereas if he could keep it calm, keep it chill with her, he's going to be able to preserve some loyalty with the Taku tribe, which is really, really valuable going into the merge.
Right, right. We also have a clip of him chopping wood. Chopping bamboo. Marianne was stepping on the bamboo. If you have Hercules chopping bamboo and you're stepping on the bamboo, you're going to feel it like, you're going to feel it in your feet. And I don't know who's to blame for this one. It's like, the man is doing something to help your tribe. Maybe walk around the bamboo or something.
He was in her workstation. That was her workstation. Back and forth.
I feel like it was
back, there. Back and forth. Oh, no. Can we go back and forth?
I don't know. That's all. Another one. Back, forth.
Four. Okay, yeah, Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Okay, that.
And then I like that he was like, I thought your workstation was like over there. She's like, my workstation is everywhere or something like that. And I'm like, what is she even working on? Like, the only work we've seen her do is like weave palm fronds, which, you know, I don't know how to do, but it's like, I feel like you could go grab a palm frond. You could go down to the beach. You could weave it. You could sit in the shelter. You could weave it. Whereas you got to have a specific chopping station, I feel like, but. I don't know. She got a lot of workstations.
And so he walks through water with Lindsay, and he says like something to the tune of like, Marianne needs to go. We get Omar saying that Marianne has an idol and an extra vote. And, you know, I don't know why they're putting all this in right now, but there's a lot of attention right there on Marianne. So we'll see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to the Vati Green tribe.
Oh.
And Hai says that he doesn't trust these people. Chanel and Daniel, he doesn't trust them. So Hai's willing to make a move on either one of them. And he tells Lydia, and Lydia, you know, they are together. Hai and Lydia are together. They're willing to vote out one of the other two. Mike has come over to the Hai and Lydia equation ever since that vote out a few tribals ago. And then we get Daniel going to fish. He says, we need to go get fish. He goes out looking for fish, and he's more so just snorkeling. And he kind of says it. He's like, you need to enjoy yourself out here. And I will say that, it's good to find ways to enjoy yourself out there. In his case, he wasn't going to catch no fish. He didn't catch no fish. He has one shoulder. I mean,
yeah, that just brought something so interesting up. Like when because here I am thinking like, okay, I want to go out and I want to go fishing. And I'm like, if you can't contribute physically, my model and my thinking has always been in Survivor, do around camp, go get water, help out, be like helpful at camp, and they'll want to keep you around. Didn't work for me necessarily, but when I looked at it, I thought like, okay, like he's doing great. But then when you hear everyone talk and they're like, he only has one shoulder and he's sitting out of these physical challenges and he's going fishing, like, what are you doing? Then you actually can be physical. And like the way that they edited it when he came back and was just like, it's relaxing. It's like, you know, like I was like, oh my God, like, I was just like, Daniel, what are you doing, baby boy?
And they specifically said, this guy is not competing in swimming challenges. And he's out here swimming, trying to catch fish. So make sense.
Well, here's my thing I'm a Daniel fan, I will say, but there's a big difference between, you know, if you're competitively swimming, trying to go as fast as you can, where you're going over right. the shoulder and you're really rotating that shoulder. Whereas if you're just snorkeling and cruising around, you can kind of do a little doggy paddle or like a little whatever I think swimming is actually like recommended as like therapy for like light swimming as like a therapeutic thing for if you have like an injured shoulder. So, you know, if that's within Daniel's comfort range, which it seemed like it was, I feel like the tribe at this point is just irked with him. So they want to paint him as the bad guy for whatever, but really it's like, what do you want him to do? If he's able to do that, you want him to just like sit in the shelter and be a victim and like say he can't do anything. Like I think it was reasonable of Daniel to try. Now, maybe he could have realized it wouldn't be the best for his like for optics, so, but I thought
that's my question. It's so different. Jack. So my question to that is, should he have the know-it-all to know that the optics of this aren't great? And because it seemed like he was like, everyone's just always in the game and Survivor and you just need to chill. And we know that when the second that somebody gets comfortable or the second that somebody is not playing the game, what happens? Like, do you think he should have been more aware of that? Or do you think like the tribe is just hating, or it's like two things can be true at the same time?
I think it's two things can be true at the same time. I think it's more just the tribe is hating, like, and maybe he could have like prefaced it. Like if I had my shoulder was messed up, but I feel like, and I couldn't do the swimming challenges, I would think I'd be like, hey guys, like I think my shoulder's okay enough where I could kind of paddle around a little bit because it's not such an aggressive sort of swimming. So I'm going to go look for some fish for the tribe and maybe I could catch something. Now, hopefully I would be better at spearfishing than Daniel, but I can't say that I would be. But yeah, it's just like, if you feel like, clearly, I don't think that sort of movement hurt his shoulder. So if you feel like you could do it, I don't know if you need to explain to the tribe, but it's like, if you want to feel like you're contributing. So I feel like he's trying to help more than he's trying to hurt the tribe, but like he doesn't want to just sit in the shelter and do nothing.
Right. But I guess the difference is when you come back and you're like, it's so relaxing. It's so like, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel you. And I also feel like the tribe doesn't say this, but I get the undertone as if like he's faking, you know what I mean? Like, as if like the shoulder injury isn't as bad as he's making it seem. And he is sitting out, like reserving his energy and, you know, making it as though like if they were to lose, the fault's not on him. That's kind of sort of the undertone that I was getting when I was hearing Hi and Lydia and Mike and Chanel talk. And also a Survivor. So any reason that I could put something on you, yeah, I'm gonna put it on you.
No, that's definitely a factor, I think.
So sure. Is there anything to being able to have this place of peace or solace or meditation out while you're out in this chaotic game? Is there something to that? Like, because go ahead.
I was going to say, it's called nighttime.
I was like, going out and snorkeling in these spectacular Fijian coral reefs, it's a thing of beauty. And so when I went out there and I caught a few fish, I didn't catch a lot of fish. I was trying my hardest. It's not the easiest thing when you don't know what you're doing. But it is like, it is very peaceful in this game of chaos. And I'd say there is something to that, but maybe not in Daniel's case at that particular moment, coming back and saying how peaceful and meditative it is.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. We get the direct juxtaposition of Jonathan using the snorkeling in order to relax himself and get out of that stressful situation. And then Daniel goes and does it. And then it puts him in a stressful situation where everyone's hating on him.
Yeah. And again, I just think also Daniel, like coming back from that tribal of last week, you know, you would think that like your antennas would be up more and, you know, but again, also more of the reason of why he probably would want to relax. And so I get both sides of it. So it's like so difficult because you're on Survivor and anything and everything will be used against you.
Yes. Like the court, like anything, like your Miranda rights. Okay. And then we get a commercial.
Oh, God.
But here's the thing, Bryce. Oh. We were at the party, so I don't remember all the commercials. So what I will say is that we will do a commercial for our party on Bryce and Wood Present Chicago. The three of us will be there at Bounce Sporting Club on 420, April 20th in the Windy City. We're going to have a great time. Doors open at 5 o'clock. Tickets are at the links in our bios. What else? Yeah. Any other news?
I mean, Jack, you pulling up to Chicago? Are you going to walking down the street?
I'm going to grab a bird scooter. I'm going to cruise over there. Got Xander and Andrea on the back of the scooter. We're flying in. Other commercial news, season 4 trailer for The Circle dropped, and I heard some familiar voices. Bryce, I heard it's about to go down, and it sounded a lot like a familiar person on the podcast. Do you have any comments on that, Bryce?
It's about to go down. How
I got six model chicks, six bottles of Chris, full Belvedere's got everywhere. What do you say?
What do you say?
You and your Chloe glasses, go somewhere private where we can discuss that.
Like Jack, the YouTube comments be like, Bryce and Wynn, y'all gotta make a playlist for Jack.
Please.
That was an old Jay-Z song from probably before you were born, Jack.
Before I was born as well, Jack, too.
But any comment on that? On these rumors?
I don't know. Listen, baby boy's been booked and busy, so I don't know. I guess we're gonna have to see.
Are you in the Circle hotel room right now? Are you on the Circle right now, Bryce?
Oh, my God.
It looks like you're in a hotel room. I'm just saying.
Who said that?
I'm just saying. Anyway, so after the commercial break, we are at the Ika Blue Tribe, and we have Dre and Romeo going out looking for the idol. They're each other's number one. I like that 1-2 punch. I like them for each other. We get a Romeo montage of his family, and then we get Drea finding the idol, the beware advantage, which can be turned into an idol if she uses it the right way. And she has another one of these ridiculous phrases to say. Her phrase is, potatoes have skin. I have skin. Am I a potato?
Oh. I mean, potatoes come in a sack.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so they also read Marianne's bunny rabbits eating dinner in the mailbox saying, and they're like, oh, she's been saying that. Okay. So she has one too. They're starting to connect the dots.
Yep. And now they just need Mike to say his, and he's been holding out, which at first was smart, but now it's like, I didn't even know if Mike realized, because he was saying like, oh, if I don't say the phrase, like, we'll go into the merge, we'll have an idol. I'm like, Mike, I don't think that's how it works. Right. You gotta activate it. Yeah.
Well, so it doesn't activate if they don't say it.
I don't think so. I think you have to, you get your vote back if you go into the merge, but you don't get the idol. Okay. The idol's like null, I think.
Speaking of Vati, it jumps back to Vati, and they are, they're again considering this. They're thinking about this consideration, and he doesn't want to say it. But I think he doesn't want to say it because if he doesn't say it, then it will be activated. I think that is how it goes.
I just thought he didn't want to activate the other tribe's idols. I'm not like 100%, but I think you have to say it at some point to activate it. Idol.
And so like the one thing that was confusing with Mike was like, he was like, you know, nobody's going to know. Like, I've got this. Like, but like, Mike, when you say it, the other people that got it going to know, and your whole tribe knows. Like, so I don't know. I just, for me, I'm never in the business of sharing idols.
Okay. So then,
but I never had an idol, so I don't know.
Yeah. So then we have another commercial, Bryce. And this one I do remember because I was thinking about you and your skin and your skincare. It's an OxyClean commercial. Oh. Do you use OxyClean?
No, I don't. It actually breaks my skin out.
What's your skin routine, Bryce?
My skin routine is I use Neutrogena. Uh-huh. I've got really oily skin, so I actually have to like take an extractor, and I like at night will wipe my face down. I do a little mask. I do a mint julep mask. I do a moisturizer. I do a little eye cream. I do a little lip thing at night. I get into a little bag and I tape it up and then I go to sleep.
Now, Bryce, I got a second question. I got a follow-up question. What's OxyClean?
Oh, I mean,
it's not for skin, is it?
Oh, wait, that's OxyClean. Is the that's the detergent.
That's a detergent. Yeah. So yeah,
no wonder it's breaking my face.
Jack, do you have a skin routine?
Jack, what's your skin routine? Because it's giving you just woke up. So what?
Yeah. So I mean, I was sick recently, so I'm my skin right now is especially bad. It's a little blemish, but my typical skincare routine is I'll post something on my Instagram story. Bryce will say, boy, if you don't fix those chapped ass lips, then I go buy chapstick and I put that shit on.
Very nice. Very nice. And I will also take a moment to give a shout out to another party we're having. It is Rob Cesternino is coming up for his RHAP Live on May the 4th to New York City. And he asked us to throw the kickoff party on May the 3rd. So we will have a karaoke party. May the 3rd in New York. We're going back to Mustang Harry's, one of our favorite venues. And we have DJ Caution coming up.
Hey.
He's going to be getting the karaoke popping. It's going to be a good time.
He's going to be get the party started like you want to turn next every time that I come through.
On deck.
One through. It's going to be
I know this one.
Because I'm something to the whole crew.
Yes.
Get the party started.
Dad, okay. Jack, what would be your go-to karaoke song?
I'm thinking I might have to learn this new Jack Harlow one. The G. You heard that one with the Fergie sample?
I've heard that.
I'm going to have to break that one out. Keep it fresh.
Speaking of Jack Harlow, we know you love Jack Harlow. And Jeff, the baby boy, tweeted him or sent him a little birthday message. I went to the caption. First comment
he's
saw.
He's about to fly out.
He's about to fly out. The first comment I saw was Jack in the comments like, first. I love Jack Harlow. Do you want to see my buff Jack?
He would appreciate it more than y'all.
Who would be a better Jack playing Survivor?
I mean, I think Jack Harlow is just so big. I think it would be hard for him to get to the end. I'm gonna go with him. I'm just gonna say.
He corrected himself.
I'm just such a.
It'll be hard for him.
Because I can't set the bar too high for myself.
Hey, Jack. My name's Jack. Do you wanna work?
We got a lot in common, Jack.
Do you wanna be my number one?
Where's Jack Harlow from?
Louisville.
Jack now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hit me with the trivia.
All right.
But it should be pretty cool. His first single? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I don't know. He's been making music since he was like 11, so I don't know his actual first single. I can name some old ones, but.
Okay. What's his favorite? Name an old one.
Dark Knight, great old single from Jack Harlow. It's like 2017.
What's his favorite pizza topping?
Buffalo chicken. Nah, I made that up. I don't know.
What's his favorite Survivor season from the 30s?
From 35? The 30s? 37, probably.
What about before 37?
No, I'm playing. 28.
No, before 37, but after 35.
No, I know he likes Boston Rob a lot, so he probably likes like 20 or something. But I think it's pretty cool that they're going to fly him and his friends out to like run through the challenges and stuff. That's like pretty random, but pretty
fun. I thought it was hella random. I was like, and I know you can't make it, but you and your friends can fly out in the helicopter.
If you're Jeff Probst,
you can sleep on the plane.
Hey, you can stay in my crib. You can stay in my guest room. Yeah. You can perform if you want. You can use my OxyClean. But
it would be dope if they did a reward challenge where the reward was a private like concert with like some hot dogs or something.
Not hot dogs.
Well, they always like sprinkle, you know, like they'll have like the private screenings and then they'll give you like popcorn.
Yeah.
But my friend's going to be on the dream team. So I'm wondering if he'll get to kick it with Jack. Uh-huh. So
that's dope.
Yeah.
What I liked, I don't know if I liked it or what, but when I was on the island, sometimes you'd see different faces back there with the producers during a challenge or something like that, or it would be people that they'd bring out, or you'd see some like random children back there that's got to be like a producer's kid or something like that. You'd see at one point, and this was during the like the Lynn Spillman era when she was doing the casting. She did it for so long. Shout out to Lynn.
Yes, Lynn.
When Dom and I were doing this challenge where we had to hold you had to hold something up and there was a ball balanced up top or whatever. It was like a bicep challenge. And Dom and I ended up outlasting everybody. Everyone was gone within like the first like 15 minutes. And then Dom and I went 45 minutes doing this. And we were just talking ish to each other the whole time. And we looked over and we saw Lynn Spillman. And this was, you know, three quarters through the game. And it was like we saw like a family member out there. It was a very familiar face. We'd gone through this process with Lynn. We loved her so much. And we saw her out there. And it was almost like a family loved one's visit. We couldn't say hi to her, but it was one of those welcoming, warm faces that mm-hmm. like we needed to see. So that was really cool.
What's the, are there any like crazy things that you saw like behind the cameras while you were in the game? Like some weird or funny things?
In my case, they're like ultimate professionals.
Yeah.
They get back there and there are so many of them. But they are on their job. The producers are either like watching or taking notes. The camera crew, everyone, there's like compliance people, the medics, everyone is just on their job. And I think this is probably their role. Hey, stand back there and disappear, like so that we're not distracted by them because they're not supposed to be a part of the show. You know, it's supposed to be these random people on this island. So I don't recall anything where somebody was like back there doing something or like
for me.
So, yeah, they're locked in.
On Cagayan, when it rained those 3 days, the craziest thing for us was like not the cameramen were out there with us, but it would be like the field producers would be standing there with the umbrella. And I don't know why it would be like, give me that umbrella net. Like I was like, really? You just can't put a jacket on. You got to stand over there with the umbrella and we're like literally soaking wet. But the cameramen are amazing. When I tell you like how they run, like if something's happening, like one time one of them like tripped over a rock and obviously we're like, are you good? We couldn't, like, his leg was bleeding. He got right back up and was like right back to the action. Like they are phenomenal cameramen.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultimate pros. But yeah, so after the commercial break, we get right into the challenge for tarps. The first tribe gets a big tarp. The second tribe gets a smaller tarp. We get Marianne saying it's a classic case of the bunny rabbit having dinner in the mailbox. We get Drea freshly after finding hers saying the potato has skin, I have skin. Are we potatoes? Marianne says something like she needs to marry food or something. We get another silly one from our girl, Marianne. And then we have Mike, the smoothest guy in the game, Hoboken Mike, saying,
so smooth.
There's such grace in the game of soccer. It makes me cry. Now, you're wondering why I'm saying that. And he just talks about like football. One day my football player jumps and blah, 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 blah. And then again, he goes back to there's such grace in the game of soccer. It's like he wanted to make sure pro.
Yeah, he's making up for lost time. He thinks every week he missed, he's got to say it for those weeks. So he did it five times.
It gives his superpowers. If you say it three times, it becomes a supercharger.
He got the
super. And you see him at the end, like sitting there with a content smile. He's like,
I did that.
He's like, I did that. Yep. Seamlessly. I remember when we did the practice where we were like trying to work it in. I was like, hopefully Mike can do it better than that. And I don't know if he did.
Yo, I love Mike. Like, and on his social media, he's having fun with this stuff. We've seen silly stuff from him on the island. And when America is laughing at you, you can laugh with them or you can get mad at them and Survivor and everything. I think he's doing a good job of laughing with them.
Yeah.
And that makes him, to me, a more likable person.
it's,
oh, absolutely.
For I see a lot of similarities in Rox Roy and Mike. I feel like they're loyal, and I feel like when, you know, Mike talks to you, he's like, "Look me in my eye." Like, I feel like I would no doubtably trust Mike, and I would
no doubtably. That's a new one.
We need to start a Bryce Isaiah dictionary.
Vocab list.
What was that word? No doubt.
No doubtably.
No doubtably. I would trust Mike, and I would, if I were out there with Rox Roy and we said that we were together, I would trust him. Like, there is just something that I don't get, that Mike lies and he schemes, and neither do I get from Rox Roy. It was so interesting to me, if those two make the merge, I want to see what their link up is going to be like, because I definitely think they are men of a certain age, and they, like, they're just loyal, hardworking dads. And so there's just something about Mike and Rox Roy that I just feel like they're trustworthy. And I hope that their tribes can see that, because it seems like both of them right now are on somewhat of the outs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what happens post merge with them. This challenge, another one of these challenges where they're doing a lot of stuff. It ends with them slingshotting some like a piece of wood off of a stand.
And
Ika, the blue tribe, gets the slingshot first. They end up winning. And then the green tribe gets their second. And so they have a lot of time to knock these two things off. But and it seemed like.
Wait. Before we get into that, while, you know, the mission at hand was when they had to, like, climb up this thing, the ropes, and then they had to, you know, get down the ropes. OK, listen. So,
yes.
OK, we started off. I was the ladder. Goodness. Last week, I was the boat. This week, you could call me the ropes, okay? Because if you want to roll over me, baby, roll over me. And regardless if you going to like my comment or my tweet or not, I'm going to still show you love. And also, shout out to Matt Scott of the RHAP community at the Bryson Wimper Zet, the district. Matt Scott, the major baby.
Okay, let's see it. Bryce's shirt says Bryce is a picture of Jonathan holding Bryce like the ladder. It's a cartoon, and it says Bryce Isaiah is the ladder. Oh my goodness.
Listen, you gonna love me, okay? We gonna make this work. Okay. So I am the ladder.
Okay.
So I am the boat. And if you need help, Zatty, I will be your rope. Okay, back to life.
Hey, yeah. Let's go. We getting better.
Jack knows a song.
I don't know anything past that.
From the 90s?
Oh, my God. Jack the Shaq Atkins.
However
do you want it?
However
do you need it? The rope.
However do you want it?
The ladder. The boat. The rope.
However do you need it? Okay.
The ladder.
Okay.
The boat.
All right. You guys lost me the rest of that. But.
All right. So, yeah.
Bryce Isaiah is the ladder.
Bryce Isaiah is the ladder.
Is
Bryce
the
Isaiah
conclusion.
Is the boat. Bryce Isaiah is the rope. No matter if comments are turned off, we're still going to show Jonathan love. And that is what it is. All right.
Okay.
But he, you know what? When they climbed up and you have this rope that's like squares, big squares that you can, limbs can fall through if you're trying to run on it or whatever. It was smart for Jonathan to tell people to just roll down the rope. That's like, I wouldn't have thought of that, and that's smart. And he's also 6'100", and he could probably just, okay. Bryce is rolling on his bed in his hotel room at the Circle. All right, Bryce. Yes. You're in the Circle Hotel rolling on a bed. Yes.
Sorry. Just wanted to practice it.
That was a.
They asked you to do that, though. So, Bryce getting ready.
Getting his practice on.
It's about to go down.
Damn.
So, but ultimately, the Blue Tribe wins. In second place, the Green Tribe was in second place. They could have won if they would have knocked down their things. But I think Omar was having a difficult time unbraiding. So that's what slowed down Jonathan's tribe, the orange tribe.
Taku.
That's what slowed them down. But ultimately, they were able to unbraid it. And Superman Jonathan goes up, pew, knocks one down, pew, knocks another one down, and they come in second. Easy. They can't lose.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely a gift and a curse, because, you know, he is so good. And again, he just is so good. It is only a matter of time that if he makes it to the merge, he is going to be the biggest.
Anyway,
that's it.
Okay.
Just, like, he gonna be the biggest threat. So it is, it's a lot.
Yes. So it is a lot. And so after that, then Ika has to send two people on a journey. They decide to send Lydia and Roxroy on this journey to this extra island.
Oh, that when they went to the extra island and Lydia and Roxroy is talking and Lydia's like, well, I don't want to give too much. And, you know, Roxroy's like, I'm just trying to get the information. And, you know, and she's like, so are you guys solid over there? And Roxroy's like, well,
who is?
What is solid? Like, you know, like,
what is tight? What, okay. I think that's who, what he said.
Okay. What is juicy?
Who is tight?
Who is the ladder?
Okay. Who needs rope? I love Roxroy. And again, he is I don't want to say like he, if he is a, let's just say a light. Okay. It goes on and it goes off. Like, you know, he's not an LED. Like, you can change from your phone, just like very simple on and off. Like, you know, in his mind, he like, I'm going out there. I'm getting information, not giving anything away. That's it. And, you know, okay, but there is tact to it. So it's like, you know, like, I just think, like, what in the world, baby boy? Like, so you don't think that that's not, like, you want to work across the aisle? Like, you know, like, even if you only want to give a little bit of information, just, like, on, off. And it's just, it's off-putting a little bit, because if I were Lydia, and although Lydia was, like, not giving a lot of information, but it seemed as though she gave more information, for me, I would be like, okay, if we trap swipe, if we whatever, like, I'm not working with him. And so I understand what he was doing, but it's just like, I just wish he would have just gave a little bit more.
Yeah. Especially coming off the vote where he's left out. This is a chance to make an ally. The merge is coming soon. It's a chance to connect, get some info on the other tribe. Because I feel like from what we've seen, if you go into this journey with kind of an open communication line, you can mutually benefit a lot. And, you know, I feel like at this point he should know that there's probably some sort of opportunity for an advantage at the end of the journey. And by getting information about the other tribe, you can see kind of what they're going to do, right? If he knows that, if he's able to figure out that Lydia probably needs her vote tonight, he can safely risk his vote and kind of encourage her to play hers safely. But by not knowing anything, he ends up, as we see, just playing it safe, which it's like, what, come on. And also, like, from Roxway acknowledges his social game isn't the best. So it's like, why are you going in trying to be like the most tactful, like smooth talking guy? Like, you just know you aren't that. So you're not going to extract any info without giving any up. Like, right. And as far as he knows, Lydia could go home tonight. So if you get all the information out of her, even if you give her information about your tribe, she might be gone. And then it doesn't even matter. So, yeah, it was really misplayed. And it was, you could feel Lydia's frustration because she was trying to make that connection. And he was just like,
nope.
Well, what is the definition of tight?
When you say tight,
and she,
can you use it in a sentence?
So good observations, Jack. What I will say is, in echoing your sentiments, they're about to go into a merge. This is literally an opportunity to talk to somebody that you're going to see, that there's a high likelihood that you'll see at the merge.
Yeah.
You can, at the same time, in saying like, hey, look, we both don't want to give up a lot of information. But hey, look, when we see each other on the other side, let's work. Let's figure it out. We can make something happen.
Nope. Rock Schwartz said, I'm going out there and I got to come back and I got to stay loyal to my tribe. Nope.
That just voted against me.
Just voted against me, but I'm happy that they did because now I know I can use them for their social game. That's it.
We love them. We love them.
And it's a three tribe configuration. So even if you're loyal to your tribe, you're going to have to work with another tribe. So try to make those connections. If it's a two tribe configuration, you've got the numbers or whatever. Like, I get it. Like, don't give anything away. You got the numbers. You're all strong. But it's exactly the opposite of that. And so he should be trying to make these bonds.
My point, though, is that Roxroy is loyal. Like, if I'm working with him, he absolutely would be my number one. He is somebody that I feel like I would be able to. Hey, Roxroy, if somebody come up to you and talk, don't say nothing what I just told you. And I feel like, you know, Wendell will come up and be like, hey, what's up, Roxroy? Can't talk.
He'd be like, fuck off.
I can't say anything that Bryce just told me.
I can't tell you that he just found the idol. Oh, wait. Oh, no. Damn.
Light off.
he just like literally like turns off and just freezes. And just like goes, he's like an AI.
Maybe he's like
shutting down.
loading.
All right.
Yeah, it's but yeah. I appreciate somebody like a rock sport.
So we also get what I think is good. We have while they're on that island, we have a Lydia, just a quick thing of her speaking about how she had body image issues and how she's coming out of that and she's, you know, growing more confident and strong. I love hearing that. I love seeing that because, you know, there's a lot of people watching that can be going through the similar thing.
1,000%. And again, it speaks to diversity. It speaks to hearing these women's stories and, you know, casting a different cast. And when we say like the spectrum of the rainbow of different colors, shapes, sizes, for a long time, you know, Survivor, Model S. And, you know, just a one type fit all. And it's like, no. And Lydia, first of all, exudes beauty. And it's, I just love the storytelling. And no matter what someone may look like, no matter how popular, how whatever you think somebody is always struggling with something. And I just love the strength of Lydia just sharing her truth and just saying that out here, I'm realizing that, like, I am beautiful. They can't hold a candle to me. So I really appreciated that so much from her and hearing those stories. And I know that like so many people can relate. So that was great. I also, real quick though, one thing that I do love about this season is I love the gays and they girls this season. Most of the times, brings me back to me and Morgan. We weren't able to do it. And like I said last week, now Hi and Lydia have struck revenge for us. But it's like so rare in a season that you get two power couples, Romeo and Drea, they working together. And then you have Lydia and Hi working together. And for me, it's just like, I love it. I, like, you know me, I'm a proponent of the LGBTQ+, and I love the fact that, like, we don't just have one out there. We can have a multitude of them. And listen, they out there running the game. Never before in Survivor have we had this many people of LGBTQ+ out there. And not only are they running the game, they got their girls with them. They got their beautiful queens. And I just love it. And I stuff like that excites me. And it's like, 10 years ago, we would have... Child, a year and a half ago, we would have never seen that. So I just had to just stop and show that some love because I love the dynamic duos. Y'all better do us justice. You better make me a Morgan proud.
Yeah, I think what the kind of Lydia's narrative on this journey sort of epitomizes is this season is telling a lot of those stories that have sort of been untold. Like, you see Hi talking about that struggle he's having with being vegan, and then having to accept the fact that he's got to eat meat while he's out on the island. You see like Daniel's battle with leukemia. You're seeing Lydia's issue with like body image and several more that aren't coming like at the top of my head. But there's a lot of those, like, it's not the big issues that Survivor initially tried to touch on, like race and gender. Like, those are huge categories. So they're now it's kind of narrowing down to those more like specific issues that are kind of much more relatable in a sort of a niche sense. So it's definitely super cool, and I'm sure there's gonna be a lot more of those as the season goes on.
Yeah, I like that. I do like that. We jump over to the Green Tribe because these fools are about to go to tribal, and Daniel knows that his head is on the chopping block, and he says it to them. He says he doesn't want to scramble, but he'd love to talk to everyone individually. Chanel says the same thing. Daniel says, when push comes to shove, Chanel didn't have my back. When I feel like two tribals ago, he literally threw her right under the bus. So I don't know about that. We have everyone giving each other lip service. Hai says he trusts Daniel more than Chanel. Mike and Chanel are at water. Mike says, I'm 100% writing down Daniel tonight. Mike is a loyal guy. I feel like we could trust his word on that one. But yeah, we have the scramble.
What, Jack, I'm curious to know your thoughts on what is your thoughts on the organized scramble?
What do you mean?
Daniel's like, I don't want to scramble. I just want to talk to everybody individually.
I think that's fair. That's like a good way to kick the inevitable like scramble off, I guess, is like, hey, like let's all pair up and just say our 2 cents and that gets the ball rolling. Cause then once you have it, like some ideas out there, people are naturally going to go talk. Whereas if you're Daniel, you want to talk to someone and it's like, oh, like Mike, can I pull you aside? Everyone else is just going to look at each other and be like, oh, let's just vote Daniel, I feel like. And so then I feel like that's not a bad idea.
For me, I was thinking about like the optics, and I was thinking about how at last tribal, when Dan said, I definitely don't want to go to rocks, and that was able to use that and propel himself into it. And I was thinking that like, if I were Chanel, knowing that I was possibly on the bottom, him saying that, I mean, clearly I'm gonna talk to everybody, like, you know, whatever, but I that would make me go 1,000% harder. Like, yeah, he gotta go. We gotta get him out. Like, I don't know. I would try to use that information that he just offered up and run it as hard and as fast as I could.
Oh. So yeah, Daniel, he's this brilliant guy. He went to Yale Law, super smart. We've seen some mistakes on the island with his negotiations and everything. And I think it's a good strategy. So people aren't like shadily, let's take a walk to water. Come on. Like, look, we got everyone. Can we just talk to, can I just talk to you guys like civilized humans? Just give me some time with everybody. We'll situate things. Y'all will be able to extrapolate what you want, and then we'll keep it moving, as opposed to the shady walks and stuff. So I think that was a cool way to, I think that was a more gentleman's way of starting the battle that is going to ensue.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it was a solid way to start it, but it's kind of funny because in a sense, he's basically saying like, hey guys, I don't want to do too much, but I want to strategize with literally every single one of you. Is that okay?
Right.
And Hai is like, yeah, do what you got to do.
Yeah,
it's
actually.
But like, that's kind of naturally going to happen. So I guess for him to just like put these cards on the table is not a bad, it's not a bad
thing. Yeah, it might actually be bad now that I think about it. Cause you're saying like, hey, I am going to strategize with every one of you in a systematic way. Instead of just like, you know, being a little smoother with the strat. I don't know. Maybe now I'm reconsidering.
He's lucky he's on that tribe, because y'all know if he was on the tribe with Roxwort, no.
Like,
I cannot talk to you.
I'm building the shelter still.
We decided that we. No.
Or Garrett from your seasons there, he's like, can we just talk about this openly?
Oh yeah.
That was the word. No, and Garrett also did like the Boston Rob lockdown, like, let's all just stay here.
Okay,
G-Money. And then Tribal gets so interesting. I love Daniel. I think that he's amazing, and I think that like the desperadity.
A new
desperation.
We got a new one. Desperadity.
I think the desperation got to Daniel. And I love Daniel. And I think that, like, you know, like Wendell was saying, he's like a smart player. But sometimes, you know, I think that this shows that you can love the game of Survivor. You can are a super fan and want to play, but the game is harder than it looks. Like, you know, you can know everything, and sometimes you are placed on an island and it just It's a lot. And I felt like Daniel was very, very like, I'm not desperate, y'all, but I'm desperate. Like, you know, it was just like very contradictory. And it was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, he was doing a lot. I mean, that's, I love Daniel, but he's just been on like super paranoid, frenetic the whole game. But he's been one of the most entertaining people in my opinion.
For sure.
Definitely. He went to Yale Law, which is like the best law school in the world, and his argumentative skills are a little bit lacking.
Again, so. I can't chalk that up to like him not be. I can't. When you get on this island, when you're starving, when you're missing one of your shoulders, like there's so much to it that I'm not. It ain't for everybody, and it's weird to see what this game does to certain people. So. I think we need to give Daniel some grace because
no, for sure.
He's had a hard time, I think. And yes, he's made some silly mistakes. But
and let me just address this real quick. And the people that are being mean to him, because I see the threads. I mm-hmm. see the comments. It's a TV show. This man is out here having fun. It's not working out for him. But at the end of the day, like being mean and saying nasty stuff, it's like. Stop. Like he's a human being, and like put yourself in his shoes. If like you love the game of Survivor and you are so excited to go out and your game doesn't necessarily work out how it works out, you got to deal with that. You got to process that. Then you have to relive it. You want to have a good time. And then you got y'all trolls. Like why? Like, I don't understand that. Like that frustrates me so much. Like, it's okay.
Especially given the fact that even in the show, he's like acknowledging that he's messing things up. Like he's being very self-deprecating. So it's like, he knows he's making mistakes. Like, what's the point of like going out of your way to hate on him?
You can like, there are ways to like laugh at these players because people will make silly mistakes. People go out there and try crazy things. They do, or they don't pan out. Tony won twice. He did a lot of silly things out there. Okay. Fortunately, a lot of it panned out. In Game Changers, he was the what? Third boot? It didn't pan out.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with a third boot.
But he's ain't nothing wrong with third boot. But he's the GOAT. So like when we watch these players, if we could just, you know, understand that they're trying these things and they were lucky enough to get onto the island. They're actually in the game playing. So, you know, laugh at it. And but let's just try not to be so harmful and hurtful towards these people. They're good people. So we get this tribal council and we get down to the votes. Do we need to cover anything from the tribal council?
I mean, I was just confused at why Chanel put a vote on Mike because I was like, I understand if they split in the vote, but then like, I was just confused. And then I was dying when the votes came and Mike said, he looked right at her. And then Chanel was like, "Was me." Chanel turned into Roxroy. She was like, "Nope, nope, nope. Nope."
He said, "I kept my promise. Someone voted for me." Chanel was just ice lady.
And this was my thought, Jack, because you're a numbers person. So feasibly, if they revote and Daniel goes home, and if Mike is mad at Chanel, could Chanel be like, it had to have been Daniel? Would the numbers work out that way? Or it's very obvious?
Maybe, but the thing is, like, Daniel can't vote for himself, so he either voted Chanel or Mike. So it's, and like, I'm sure Daniel said he was voting. Like, I guess it could, but it just didn't really make a whole lot of sense. Right. Like, at first I was just completely baffled, and then now I kind of understand why she did it. I don't think it was a good move. Like, I think her thinking was, and I know she, I've heard she played like the online games and stuff before she even ever did Survivor. So she's played a lot of these like virtual versions where she's employing some strategy and making moves. I think her thinking was, if it's going to be unanimous vote on Daniel, which she thought it was, he will probably play his shot in the dark. And so if he plays his shot in the dark and he's safe, let me throw a vote onto someone else so that they can't re-vote and vote me out. So she put a vote on Mike, which in theory is smart, and honestly probably something that I might do because I would just overthink the situation and do the most. But it's like a lot of things need to happen. A, it's got to be Daniel. B, it's got to be unanimous. He's got to play a shot in the dark. It's got to work. Like, they can't be splitting the votes onto you, which they did. Because I'm sure they were thinking the same thing. It's like, well, what if he plays a shot in the dark? Let's throw another extra vote on Chanel so that, like, she'll go home. So it was just a lot of things had to happen for that to be, like, a brilliant play. And if those things don't happen, she's just kind of stabbing Mike in the back after he's kind of going out of his way to help save her a little bit.
Right. But, I mean, smart move. And again, I think of, like, the people that are left, High and Lydia and Mike. And I guess I can somewhat understand her reason for Mike, because if it's High or Lydia, they're a force of two. So, like, yeah, you know, then they could
just revote you on the
right. And so I understand it. But I also feel like, well, oh, sis, that, like, you kind of revealed your hand a little bit. Now it's going to be tough working with Mike moving forward. But I mean, my advice will go to turn into rocks, Roy.
Nope. Yeah.
Turn into rocks, yeah. Roy.
But so, I mean, smart. And again, like, I love the gameplay, because, again, like I said, I'm not the most numbery person. And so I don't even think that I would have thought of something like that. So I understand the move. And so we'll have to see how it plays out.
And maybe the saving grace is, like, if she feels like the merge is about to happen, maybe she's ready to jump ship anyways. So she's like, I don't care about my social capital with Mike. Let me just do whatever I can to somehow ensure that I'm safe. But it's like, Mike's also such a guy of loyalty, where it's like you spend the whole day being like, hey, Mike, let's rebuild this trust. And he seems like pretty on board with it. Like, he looks at her, he's like, I kept my word to you. So to break his word like that, it's like, is it really worth it? I mean, yeah, it would have looked genius had every like stipulation worked out and Mike went home with an idol. But I don't know. It's just like thinking four steps ahead when you really didn't need to.
So we have that tie vote, and then on the revote, Daniel goes home. Sorry, Daniel. Damn, Daniel.
Damn, Daniel.
And,
I mean, that was the episode. It was good. I was excited. I can't wait to see what next week's episode gives.
Me too. But before we end, I have two things to share, so...
Okay, is this Wendell's wisdom?
One is Wendell's wisdom.
Okay.
All right. Is that what we're calling it?
I mean, I guess.
Okay, well...
Wendell's message.
Wendell's message. My first thing is this, Bryce. I think we got two new Bryce words today. We got... Now, should it be called the Bryce Dictionary, or should it be called the Brictionary?
Brictionary.
I like the Brictionary.
Okay, in the Brictionary... We are adding no doubtedly.
I mean, that's a word.
Undoubtedly.
Undoubtedly.
Or indubitably.
Indubitably. Okay. No and doubt. We're going to add desperadity. But when we were in D.C., I think Bryce might have invented a new country.
Oh.
Bryce, do you want to share the new South American country?
You go ahead and say it. Okay, Wendell. So, go ahead.
I said, what country did arepas come from?
Bryce. You know what arepa is?
Yeah. What'd you say? Arabia or something?
It's worse.
Like Arabia. With
it gets worse.
Well, I was naming all of the South American countries that I knew.
All of them?
I was trying to name them all. And I got one started with a B, and I was like, Bakla Slovakia?
That's like a Greek dessert, Bryce. Baklava.
Yeah. So Baklaslovakia.
Baklaslovakia.
Is the new new country.
But I ended up being right, though.
About what?
It was Bolivia. They're also found in Bolivia.
But that's not Baklaslovakia. But
if you knew what I meant, does it matter?
I didn't know what you meant.
No.
Okay. All right. Second thing.
Fair enough.
Second thing. This is not Wendell's wisdom or anything like this, but it's just something I want to say. I want to give a shout out to anybody, any friend of yours or whatever, anybody that brings up your name in a room where you don't exist, or anybody that vouches for you elsewhere. Something that is like in our case, I had a friend, we had our party in DC, and my friend who works at Fox 5 was like, I need to get you guys on here. My buddy Kyle Carmine He played in the Lawyers League. He hooped with me for a mad long way back in the day. Now he's in D.C. doing big things. And me and Bryce, we had to adjust our trip to get to D.C. early. But we wanted to do this. We wanted to see what it would be like on this, you know, going on the news and talking about all things Bryce and Wynn, talking about our party or whatever they throw at us. And we went out there. We were a little nervous, but we had a great time. Bryce killed it. He was talking about Bridgerton. He was talking about the slap. Will and Jada and Chris and
August Alsina.
August Alsina. So, yeah, I just want to say, like, it means the world when you vouch for your people or your friends when they're not around. And even like when it comes back around, it came back around for us and we were on TV able to promote this cool party that we had and other things that we had a great time. That set a good start to our day. And like when we left Fox 5 DC, we were on this like natural high. Me and Bryce were so excited.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So shout out to Fox 5 DC. Shout out to Kyle. Shout out to Wendeezy, because on the way over, Baby Boy was giving very much like, oh, I know what to do. I know what to say. And like, you know, I thought Wendy was ignoring me. I was like, okay, I'm going to just talk to myself because that's what I do. I was like, okay, if they ask me this, I'm going to. I literally turned into Rox Roy. I was like, if they ask me this, I'm going to say this. Yes. And
what was I saying?
And out of nowhere, because I didn't think Wendell was listening to me. Then, like when we got there, Wendell like parked the car. Was like, "Perp, what are you practicing for? Just go there and be yourself." And I was like, "Okay." And for Bryce's message to anybody that's listening, just know that you are worthy and that you are enough. Like you yourself, like you don't have to be a script and you don't have to be anything. Just show up as your authentic self and just be you and shine. And thank you, Jack, for coming on the podcast. Thank you, Wendell. Jack, we ain't had you in 2 weeks. We are happy to have you back. How was spring break?
It was great. I was in Vegas and LA. It was a lot of fun.
Did you win any money?
Hurt the bank. No. I won some and then I lost it. So it was a great trip, but no, it was a lot of fun. Back at school now, last quarter before the summer vacation. So excited. I'm playing in my school's Survivor game.
Oh my God.
So oh my God. It's pretty funny. I don't know if y'all have seen like Survivor Maryland, but it's kind of similar to that.
But anyway, Jack, we're happy to have you back. Wendy's, we happy to have you here. Your baby boys are back and we will see you next week. This has been your Survivor News and we out here. I'm the rope. And that is going to conclude this week's Survivor News. I appreciate you guys so much for listening and supporting us. There were so many people this past Wednesday in Washington, D.C. at the Bryce and Wynn Present that were like, we love the Survivor News. I appreciate y'all. I am still taking in all of the love that we received. It's just so much. Again, I can't thank you enough. And thank you for listening to this week's episode. Make sure you head over to the YouTube, Bryce Isaiah. Subscribe. Give this video a thumbs up. And of course, make sure you're subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever podcast are at. We're there. Hit the subscribe button, write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars, and don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that we gone fishing, because it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants.